Hello, this is Jim Ryan at Community Radio Yall, and the sparkling music you've just heard was from the delightful overture to Rossini's comic opera, L'Italiana in Algeria, The Italian Girl in Algiers. I will refer to it hereafter as L'Italiana. It's the featured opera at this year's Blackwater Valley Opera Festival and will be performed on Wednesday, May the 30th, and Friday and Saturday, the 1st and 2nd of June, in Lismore Castle. The opera, like the overture you've just heard, has a marvellous energy, an infectious gaiety, and lots of gorgeous music. Rossini's overtures themselves are among his best loved music. They're often played in the concert hall, and many, such as the overture to William Tell, are better known than the operas for which they were composed. The overture to L'Italiana is a delight, full of gaiety and brilliance, with magical woodwind playing. It dances with energy and gets the audience in the mood for the inspired mayhem that follows. It has some slow passages of music, rudely interrupted by sudden outbursts from the full orchestra. It's Rossini at his best, full of sumptuous tunes and, of course, his famous crescendo. The same musical phrase is repeated many times, becoming louder and faster each time. Indeed, Rossini came to be known as Signor Crescendo. In his heyday, his opera drove music lovers wild with delight. I love Rossini's operas. I believe he has brought as much joy and beauty into being as any composer who ever lived. His goal wasn't to compose big music dramas, rather than to entertain audiences and send them home in tears of laughter. He once said that all musical styles are good. The only one that isn't good is the one that bores you. His comic operas usually conform to a regular formula. You get an opening chorus leading into a series of arias, duets and ensembles. The plot becomes complicated and the action ever more frenzied. For some characters, disaster looms, and by the end of Act One, there is bedlam. After much perturbation and hilarity, by the time Act Two reaches its end, everything is resolved and all, or nearly all, live happily ever after. At the end of each act, the soloists and chorus sing their hearts out. L'Italiana is a feel-good opera with music and comedy which is sure to put a smile on your face. And it all happens in the governor's palace in Algiers and on the coast of Algeria. We begin with an old dilemma. The Bey or district governor Mustafa is tired of his wife Elvira and wants to replace her. The chorus plead with her not to be dejected by her husband's straying, telling her that betrayal by men is the fate of women. The piece begins with a lovely orchestral introduction, and here it is, Serenate il mesto ciglio, banish those sad looks, with Elvira and chorus. Thank you. A lovely quiet start there to the opera. In February 1813, Rossini's tenth opera, Tancredi, premiered in Venice. It was a marvellous success. But it was L'Italiana, first performed in the city's San Benedetto Theatre 3 months later, which made the composer famous throughout Europe. It was a smash hit. A reviewer wrote that the opera was greeted with deafening applause and predicted that it would find a place among the greatest works of genius. The French novelist Stendhal wrote that the audience by the end of Act One were gasping for breath and wiping away the tears from their eyes. Rossini's opera is perfection in the comic style. A modern writer, Rupert Christiansen, says, "The dotty finale to Act One of L'Italiana can have an audience rocking with laughter." Now an argument breaks out between Mustafa and Elvira. The chorus and others join in with relish. "Delle donne l'arroganza, the arrogance of women," sings he. "I can't stand this much longer," sings she. "You're splitting my eardrum," sings he. The chorus sing, "He's an arrogant barbarian." And so the mother of all rows breaks out, accompanied by some of Rossini's loveliest music. This is a lovely but noisy ensemble.
Sì,
I love the manic energy and zest of that piece. With good teamwork, which is a given at Lismore with director Dieter Kegi, that should be magical. L'Italiana fared extremely well in its early years. Within decades, it had been staged on four continents. In 1816, it was the first of Rossini's operas to be staged in Germany. In 1817, the first to be staged in Paris. And by 1819, it was given in London. And Stendhal recorded what often happened at performances of the opera. Right from the opening notes, he says, a kind of musical frenzy would take hold of orchestra and audience alike, sweeping one and all away in waves of uncontrollable delight. Now the hero of the opera, Lindoro, turns up. He was shipwrecked and kidnapped by Mustafa's pirates. He pines for Isabella, who meanwhile searches far and wide for him. Mustafa has come up with a plan. He gives the servant 6 days, under the direst of threats, to find him an attractive Italian girl. His wife, Elvira, will marry Lindoro. So that's the problem solved. But Lindoro has his own troubles. His beloved Isabella was lost at sea, and he pines for her. He sings an aria, which has been described as, and I quote, one of the finest things Rossini ever composed for the tenor voice. It gives the singer a wonderful opportunity to display his vocal mastery. Languir per una bella. To languish for a pretty girl is the worst form of torture, he sings. To begin with, he sings of his pain, but, it being Rossini, cheerfulness returns when he thinks of his loved one. You like this, I trust.
Forse verrà, ma non lo spero. Languir per una bella e star lontan, la qua. Oh!
Plenty of flowery singing there in that area from Rossini's L'Italiana in Algeri, which you can hear at this summer's Blackwater Valley Opera Festival in Lismore at the bank holiday weekend in June. Rossini wasn't easy on his singers, but it was sung splendidly there by the stylish American tenor Franco Lopardo. It's taken from the celebrated recording of the opera conducted by Claudio Abbado, which I will use throughout these programmes. There now follows a magical comic duet. You'll remember that Mustafa decided that it would suit him fine if Lindoro married Elvira. So, unaware of the irony involved, he tries to convince the young man how lucky he is to be marrying Elvira. The lovesick young man still hopes to find Isabella, so he invents every possible excuse to delay the marriage. In Elvira, you'll find riches, beauty, grace and love. You'd be crazy not to marry her. Lindoro sings, "What a terrible pickle I'm in." His is the first voice we hear telling what he wants in a wife. This is vintage Rossini.
Credi a me, si credi a me, ti piacerà, 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 ti
Welcome back, and this is Jim Ryan at Community Radio Yall. Just before the break, I played that delightful duet from Rossini's comic opera, L'Italiana, the featured opera at this year's summer's Blackwater Valley Opera Festival at Lismore on the June bank holiday weekend. What joyous singing and music that duet brought us. No wonder Rossini once had Europe enthralled by such music as we've just heard. There was also a fine example of patter singing, especially by Mustafa. A patter song is sung with a rapid-fire delivery of words. It began with Rossini, then on through Donizetti to Gilbert and Sullivan. A well-known example would be I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General from The Pirates of Penzance. And it's usually the lower, less romantic voices that sing in this style. Earlier in his own aria, we heard the ardent, soaring tones of Lindoro, and just now we heard the cynical patter of the bass, Mustafa. Lindoro imitates him to some extent here, only because what he sings is sung in jest. Rossini fell out of favour by the late 1820s. He believed that the melodramatic barnstorming operas of Meyerbeer and the music dramas of Wagner were coming into fashion. So, up to the 1950s, apart from The Barber and L'Italiana, his operas were rarely staged. He predicted that his operas would be popular again one day, and sure enough, he has been proved right. Now they're being sung and played everywhere. The great Spanish mezzo Conchita Supervia gave outstanding performances in the title role of our opera in the 1920s and 30s. The immortal Maria Callas, Joan Sutherland, and other great singers of their day showed the world what treasure Rossini's operas can be. More recently, Rossini's singers like Berganza, Flores, Pavarotti, and Agnes Balza, the Isabella in our recording, did likewise. Now back to the stage. We meet Isabella for the first time. On a stormy coast, she emerges along with a band of pirates. She laments the cruel fate which has separated her from Lindoro. But, like Rosina and the Barber, she has an abundance of spirit, and her natural optimism soon shines through. In the most famous aria in the opera, she sings, Cruda sorte, unkind fate, who will bring me comfort? But halfway through, she changes her tune. In the Cabaletta, at the end of the aria, she tells us, I must be worldly wise. I'll show them what I'm made of. I'll show any man who's the boss. So enjoy this lovely aria.
Oh,
Lovely singing there. And there we also heard Mustafa's retainers sing of how thrilled he will be when he sees his beautiful Italian girl. The foolish man little knows the merry dance she will lead him. Rossini was born on February the 29th, 1792, in the beautiful Adriatic city of Pesaro, where I spent a few lovely weeks at the Rossini Festival some years back. His father was a musician, his mother a singer. The young boy, a gifted musician, played piano and cello. He entered Bologna Conservatory at 14 and by the age of 21 had composed 10 operas. As I said earlier, L'Italiana made him famous and commission for his operas soon came from all over Europe. He was the idol of the Italian opera-going public and was lionized wherever he went. For years, his operas dominated the repertoire. Then, in 1829, when he was 37, halfway through his life, with 39 operas behind him, the most famous opera composer who had ever lived cried stop. He never wrote another opera. Although it's been much written about, nobody really knows why. In our next programme, I hope to return to the subject. He became a famous gourmet, spoke many witticisms, and his salons in Paris were brilliant affairs. Now, Isabella finds that an unwanted admirer, Taddeo, isn't easily sent packing. They sing a lively, tuneful quarrel duet. I'm sick of this guy. Better Mustafa than this scoundrel, she thinks. I'll end up playing Gooseberry, he cries. Live on the stage at Lismore, it should be a real joy.
Più non voglio, più non voglio dei garri.
Buonanotte.
d'impazzir.
Vanna già,
una notte,
farò il malore,
una notte,
ora più non fo.
Ho finito d'impazzir,
no, no.
Buonanotte,
vanna già,
fece il signore,
ma nel diavolo,
notte,
io non ho fatto di cari,
non ho fatto di cari,
non ho
fatto di cari,
music and singing there. Now a temporary peace occurs. Taddeo, who sees how things are shaping up, feels that as a past suitor of Isabella's, some degree of kinship with her would register with Mustafa and might save his neck. They're in a bit of a pickle, so they decide their strength in unity, and they agree to pose as uncle and niece. And they're delighted with their own cleverness. Ah, no, per semper unity. Oh, no, united always. I believe this is music of great beauty.
Oh,
What an enchanting lightness of touch there from Rossini, from the singers, and from the conductor and the orchestra. Rossini was only 21 when he composed this opera, and his youthfulness shines through the music. And the singers certainly earned their keep with Rossini also. The finale to Act One, nearly 20 minutes of non-stop music, is a masterpiece. Some great moments in his operas are when everybody is frozen in stunned amazement. Isabella fears that Lindoro will marry Elvira, while he thinks Isabella is going to fall for Mustafa. What a fine mess they've all got themselves into. Mayhem erupts, but it's inspired magical mayhem. Of this finale, Dennis Forman writes, and I quote, "The miraculous finale, the ultimate in confusion, where each character emits his or her signal of bewilderment. It's the funniest, pottiest finale in all opera." In the first of three extracts I will play, Mustafa and Isabella sing of their joy. He's thrilled because he won a beautiful woman. She's happy because she knows he'll be as putty in her hands. To begin with, she sings in mockery of Mustafa, "O che muso, che figura. Oh, what a face, what a figure." This again is gorgeous.
Sta bene, 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 sta
great master of melody, Mozart, was Rossini's idol. He said, "I listen to Beethoven twice a week, Haydn four times a week, and Mozart every day." So he learned from the master. There follows the lovely duet when Isabella and Lindoro, unknown to the others present, recognise each other. Everybody else realises that something very strange is going on, but aren't sure quite what it is. Confusi e stupidi, confused and stupefied, sing all the soloists. And we're in again a lovely Rossini quandary. And so we come to the final chaos of Act One. To end it, Rossini uses a tradition whereby singers sing not words but noises. Their heads are spinning, and the sounds they sing reflect that turmoil. One hears crows, caw caw. Another hears cannons, boom boom. Another hears hammering, bang bang. And another hears bells, ding ding. All of this can be heard at the Blackwater Valley Opera Festival in Lismore Castle on Wednesday, Friday and Saturday, May the 30th and June the 1st and 2nd. With the din of this exhilarating cacophony in our ears, we reach the end of L'Italiana in Algeria. In our second programme, we look at Act Two, talk more about the opera and how Rossini came to compose it in 17 days. And we'll also talk about the composer. I'll tell you about the excellent singers, many of whom I've heard, who will sing in this bewitching and riotous opera at Lismore. Till the next time then, this is Jim Ryan at Community Radio Y'all saying goodbye for now. Goodbye.